Welcome to Identity Church Sunday Morning Message, where our sonship is revealed. Stay tuned at the end of this message to receive more information about resources available through Identity Church. Now grab your Bible, sit back, and enjoy a message from Identity Church that is already in progress.
Body. Today's message would be one body, many members. How many of you have ever read my book? I wrote this book as God gave me revelation about my father and how his religiousness wounded me and how my rebellion wounded him back. And we had a really pretty bad relationship, and then God decided to really tune me up, give me a heart for my dad, and through the encounters, at 85 years old, my father asked me to spiritually father him. He said, when are you going to man up and break this orphan thing off my life and teach me who know who God is as a father? And we've had a great relationship in the last 10, 12 years, really. But it's been hell. How many know sometimes it's hell recovering broken places in relationship? But I have an issue is he's my father, and I probably wasn't going to find another one. So I had to go through some things, and I got called on the carpet yesterday by my wife. My dad's 92 years old. He's not doing well. He's been in a nursing home. He's trying to rehab, and so we have a family crisis going on. And I make decisions. My sisters are the mushy ones. The nurturers, that's a good word. Thank you, Susan. And the problem is my dad's turned a little mean. And all of a sudden, all of that religious meanness that I thought I was over, I'm not over. And I tried to be a good husband, go to the beach with my wife, because that's her quality time. I get sunburned, she gets happy. But she, in her polite way, called me on the carpet and basically when she said it, I'm like, yeah. And then the Lord says, son, you're stiff-arming your dad. You're unwilling to engage at the heart level. You're obedient, you'll do what he needs, but you're stiff-arming him with your heart. And I realized that some of the old stuff that I dealt with as a kid, that my family has dealt with, is coming to the surface. And I'm like, Lord, what are you telling me? He says, you're always going to deal with it. If you're going to be a body and have many members of a body, you're always going to have something to deal with. But the problem is if you wall people off because you're unwilling to be hurt again, or you're been unwilling to let them vent or do what they're going to do, then they're controlling you. You think you're protected yourself, but you're actually stinging him back. That went over well. Thank you for the support there. You'll enjoy that. Page 33. You may want to get saved before you read it. So, in the last week, I've been reading about the body. I've been trying to look at my immediate family with a crisis going on and with our father, and. We got this. Y'all have this the favorite child sister that she was always dad's favorite, the golden one. She never backslid. She never went and did the stuff that the rest of us did. Daddy's favorite. That's my sister Margaret. Lord, she's probably watching. I found out that under pressure, she's got the same wounds we got. And all of a sudden, the favorite daughter is now the enemy. And I realized that she managed a religious mean spirit from my father. She just did it, managed it differently than I did or my other sisters did. But she's still wounded. And I'm reading scripture and I'm going, what the heck, God? I was this morning I was saying, I went to the rehab place to him, and I walked in and he goes, if I didn't have the word of God in me, I wouldn't have made it. And I said, oh, you ain't got no word in you. And he quotes Hebrews 11, Hebrews 12 by memory. And so me being cocky, like, oh, everybody knows Hebrews. Give me another one. And he starts quoting Philippians by the chapter. But he's mean as hell. So what good is knowing the word by memory and not letting the word change your heart? So we have some cousins who think he's wonderful because my father's younger brother was, my dad took care of him, and he's passed on, and they love my dad, and he puts their picture up in his room, and we ain't got no picture. We don't want our picture in there. And our cousins are all good Christians, and they're looking at us kids going, what's wrong with y'all? And we're going, well, you didn't live with him. But what do you do with honor your father? What do you do with, you got to suck it up sometimes. What do you do with, you are still a member of this family, still a member of the body of Christ? Listen, that's when stuff starts hitting the road. I'm telling you what, theory don't work when you're in pain. That's when you go back to the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ and say, you've got to give me something that I can bring healing instead of wounding. So I'm processing this week and last week, and the Lord says, you know, son, you've had a tendency to be rebellious. Tendency, man, I was the poster child for rebellion. And I rebelled against my father for years. I felt like he went after the church, and if we made him look bad in the church, we suffered for it. So I didn't trust him. I didn't trust him for 25 years. But then I become a pastor, a leader, because God won't let me be a heathen. If you've heard me preach, you'll know that the night Jesus walked through the wall and introduced himself, he told me, I want you to go to church. I'm like, I don't want to go to church. Them people are mean. I said, and them Pentecostals are mean in two languages. Because my dad could speak in tongues and cuss you out the next minute. Or not cuss you out, just wear you out. So I had some brokenness. And the problem is that then I started calling structure religion. I started calling structure demonic. You know, the church system I hate. Oh, really? No, what I was saying is I hate the religion spirit that is attached to the church, or I hate the religious spirit that is attached to the bones or the rules and regulations. And so the Holy Spirit says to me 2 weeks ago, he says, listen, if I'm saying that my body, the body of Christ is like a body, what are the bones? The bones are the structure in which you can hang some muscle on. You can hang some meat on. You can hang some skin on. So the Lord says to me, he says, if I'm saying that your church is a body, what are the bones? It's the protocols. This is our calling of God. This is the gifting that we operate. This is the angel over the house. This is the calling for the nation and the city and the nation. But those are some bones. The bones aren't evil and the bones aren't religious. There's just structure. And the Lord says, in your own woundedness, you've resisted some structure. He said, but you can't pass this church, Identity Church, to the next generation without structure.
Everybody wants freedom. Oh, I just want to be free. I want to prophesy, hide in the cave. I don't need to go to church. I don't need to be around anybody. I love Jesus. Yeah, well, you're a Lone Ranger.
Miriam said it today. There's people that are so spiritually gifted, but they're hiding in a cave and thinking their God's okay with it. And what you've done is says, I don't want nothing to do with the bones. I don't want nothing to do with the structure. So what I'm actually going to preach today with the Bible. So I go through this repentance. See, some of my father's rigidness was just his bones. I hated the religion. I've always fought the religion. But now I'm faced as almost a 60-year-old where I don't want to be around his bones. Because I haven't been able to separate what was godly, what was proper, and what was religious. And I've let the religious back me up. And really, my biggest punishment to my dad, and it came last night after I tried to explain it to my wife, my biggest way to punish my dad was not give him my heart. I'll punish you. Oh, I'll go make the decisions. I'll talk to the doctor. I'll do the requirement. But you're not getting this. What we do is we punish people with the most valuable thing we have, and that's our heart. Because we've been wounded. Oh, I'm just stiff on them. Oh, I can set boundaries. I tried to explain it all to my wife. I don't know if y'all know Susie. That stuff don't work with her. She'd be like, I'm calling you out. I think she taught Dr. Phil. How's that working for you? It can work in your own quiet cave, but it won't work when the Holy Ghost just says, I want you to go connect to the bones. No, no, I don't want to connect to that. Now, you know, Luke. See, I'm afraid of Luke in certain areas. He'll break my bones. Yeah, so it's like, I worked and did some honeydew list, and you know, I'm not really in that good of shape. I mean, so why hug Luke? Shows you how little shape you're in. You know, and I made a stupid statement years ago to my wife. I said, man, my knees are hurting. She goes, well, if you lost some weight, they wouldn't hurt. I'm like, well, if I can't lose weight, I'll just have a surgery. I should have never said that. So what am I saying? My bones are hurting. But my bones are necessary. The protocols of the body of Christ, the bones, the structure, what God has called us to do, can hang flesh on it, skin on it. And so I wake up the morning after all this revelation with the Holy Ghost, and Jesus starts speaking to me. He says, son, I know you battle your rebelliousness against the structure. You've done well in so many areas, but I want to finish the healing this morning. So when I talk about bones, Charlie, what is it? I said, that's the structure. He says, do you know how much I value the structure in my body? I said, no. I valued the bones so much that even through my crucifixion, I did not let them break one of them. Jesus was put on the cross. He didn't let him break his bones. They beat his flesh. They put a spear in him. They put thorns on his head. But not one bone was broken. And the Lord said to me, he says, listen, I value the structure. Here's the issue, that when you're immature, when a baby's born, I got all the research on it. I'm not kind of blowing off my notes, but a baby is born with about 300 bones. But when that baby becomes a mature adult, it's 206 bones. So we mature and we get rid of some of our bones that we don't need because we come to maturity because other bones become strong. Our relationship with the body. When you're still immature, you're going to think your little cartilage that's almost a bone that God's trying to make it disappear, you think it's more valuable than that femur over there. And he's trying to teach you how to do something. You're going, well, wait a minute, I'm flexible. And God's going, listen, what you think is valuable is going to disappear. If you ever come to maturity, you'll become the femur. But if you don't connect to the femur, you'll never get the DNA of that femur. Some of you, some of us, have resisted connecting to the bone because we don't want to get rid of our immaturity and become the structure that God called us to. Is that good? All right, let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. If you look at chapter 12, the first 11 verses is about all the spiritual gifts, you know, prophecy, tongues, all the great stuff. But look at verse 12. We have ESV, but I actually pulled some of this out of the Passion Translation. Just as the human body is one, though it has many parts that together form one body, so too is Christ. Verse 13, for by one Spirit we were all immersed and mingled into one single body. There's not a baptism into the Spirit, but a baptism into the body of Christ. Listen, we talk about being baptized into the and by the Spirit, which is great, but I'm telling you, have you been baptized into the body? What happens when you get filled with the Holy Ghost? You get all the gifts. You get all the fullness of the Godhead, right? My question is, how are you connected? Because you've overvalued the spiritual baptism. You haven't applied the physical body baptism. But a baptism to the body of Christ, upon conversion, the Holy Spirit does four things for every believer. He gives us new birth, which is regeneration. That's John chapter 3, verse 5, Titus 3 and 5. Two, he comes to live inside of us. That's the indwelling, Romans 8 and 9. He places us into the body as a member of Christ's body in the earth. Spiritual baptism, 1 Corinthians 12, 13. And four, he seals us as the possession of Christ until the redemption of our human body. That's Ephesians 1, verses 13, 14, and Ephesians 4, 30. So what God is saying, you know, the first 12 verses about all the spiritual gifts, you know, prophecy, tongues, working of miracles, all those gifts of healing. That's all great. But my question is, what have you been baptized into? The local body? Great. But is that local body connected to the corporate body? To the national body? What is God doing on the earth? And no matter our status, whether we are Jew or non-Jew, oppressed or free, we are all privileged to drink deeply of the same Spirit. Verse 14, in fact, the human body is not one single part, but rather many parts mingled into one. Mingled into one. So if the foot says to work to say, since I am not a hand, I have not a part of the body, is forgetting that it is still a vital part of the body. Verse 16, and if the ear says to say, since I am not an eye, I am not really part of the body, is forgetting that it is still an important part of the body. Verse 17, think of it this way. If the whole body were just an eyeball, how could it hear sounds? And if the whole body were just an ear, how could it smell different fragrances? Verse 18, but God has carefully designed each member and placed it in the body to function as he desires. Who? As he desires. I'm trying to get my little footnote there. Yeah. Every believer should be content with the place within the body God has placed him, and God is pleased when we serve him with joy in every activity or ministry that we engage in for the sake of the body. Verse 19, a diversity is required. Listen, we don't want to all look alike. We don't all want to act alike. Diversity is required, verse 19. Diversity is required, for if the body consists of one single part, there wouldn't be a body at all. Let me tell you something. If your body didn't have bones, what would you be?
a glob, a blue. Let's go to church. Blah, 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 blah. It'd show up looking like a bunch of Pac-Men.
Verse 20. So now we see there are many different parts and functions, but one body. Verse 21. It would be wrong for the eye to say to the hand, I don't need you. And equally wrong if for the head to say to the foot, I don't need you. Verse 22. In fact, the weaker your parts, the more vital and essential they are. Look at this. Paul is no doubt speaking of the inner organs, the liver, the heart, the lungs, etc. The body parts we think that are less honorable, we treat with greater respect. Listen, and the body parts that need to be covered in public, we treat with propriety and clothe them. What are you valuing? What are you valuing? So I said, God, that scripture, I don't like that scripture. She says, yeah, I know, because you go to your father and you're the decision maker. You sit with the team, the social workers, the doctors, and you make decisions. And he tells them that you're a preacher. I said, yeah. He tells everybody else he's proud of me, I'm a preacher, but he's never told me. Yeah, son, you wear your outer garments. The greater thing is you won't share your heart with him. Verse 24. But some of our body parts don't require as much attention. Instead, God has mingled the body parts together, giving greater honor to the lesser members who lacked it. Verse 25, he has done this intentionally so that every member would look after the others with mutual concern and so that there would be no division in the body. See, when we become one, we have single vision, not division. You have two eyes, but one vision. Which means that we can have multiple eyes but one vision. Why? When we focus on him. We focus on what is the head saying? How does this hand connect with this foot? Lord, what are you doing here? I love this one. It says, there's many sick among you because you do not rightly discern the Lord's body. What are you saying? Listen, there's times I operate in the gift of healing, but that's not my strongest gift. I should find the people that actually operate in the gift of healing to pray for you. And there's some people who couldn't prophesy to you know, for anything in your life. That's not the one to go to get a word. They'd be like, Jesus loves you. That's a good word. That's a good word. You know, and I walk up and go, don't marry the crazy woman. You know, now that's a better word. You know, you go to that wasn't for you. What am I saying? I really believe that the Holy Spirit is starting to breathe on us corporately. And when we value ourselves individually as sons, we'll start manifesting the kingdom and find our value within the body. Listen, I'm valuable. But if I'm doing things that others are supposed to be doing, now I'm watered down who I am, and I become weak in my purpose. All right, I'm getting ahead of myself. Where was I? Be no division in the body. Verse 26. In that way, whatever happens to one member happens to all. If one suffers, everyone suffers. As one is honored, everyone rejoices. Listen, do you believe that if we're one and somebody does a breakthrough, we all get the benefit of the breakthrough? You believe that? Then why are you jockeying for position? Why are you jealous when someone gets something if you really believe that? What are you telling me, Pastor? There's 500 people sent to the upper room in the book of Acts. Some people had jobs. Some people had wives that told them they had to go home. Some people had kids. 120 stayed. 120 stayed for how many days? 10 days. You know why it took 10 days? You had to get over their systems, their hurts. It took 10 days for 120 people to figure it out. Could you imagine a 10-day prayer meeting with me and me not tell you what I think? I love you, Luke, but I got 10 days with you. I'm going to really tell you what I think. We're going to get to the core of some things. We're going to figure out why. You know. Listen. You know, Jesus loves Hondas. It says eventually they're in one accord. You know, they've got in the right vehicle, one accord. But it took 10 days to work through some issues. Why? Because we're people. It may take some time to figure out why is this person always frustrating you? I said something to Dan Collins the other night, and I said, Dan, do you know why you can see that person sin so easy? Why? I said, because you already understand the DNA because you got it too. Whoo! It takes one to know one, bro. The problem is you haven't sanctified even your own, therefore you criticize and judge. That went over well, didn't it? So if one breaks through, we all break through. So 120 break through, and the Holy Spirit shows up with tongues of fire upon their head. What happens immediately? What happens? The 500 that started, you know, the 300 and something that left, they show back up. Why? Because God showed up, and they go, can we join the party? And what do they say? No, you weren't here because you weren't committed. No, you had to go to your job, and no, your wife controls you, and no, you can't have what we got. That ain't what happened. Why? 120 broke through. And within just a few days, it blew up to 3,000 and 5,000, and the Holy Ghost showed up. Why? Because what one person or one group or one prayer meeting can break through, we all benefit. Come on. Verse 27, you are the body of the anointed one, and each of you is a unique and vital part of it. God has placed in the church the following: first apostles, second prophets, third teachers. Okay, we got some of those around. We got apostles here. We got prophets here. We got some teachers here. Oh, and then those, the gifts of miracles, gifts of healing, gifts of revelation knowledge. Verse 28, the most translations render the Greek word antiphosis. I don't know. Understand. In other words, helps. However, it is literally laying hold of the revelation or apprehending the revelation. So that's the gifts of revelation of knowledge, the gifts of leadership. That is a Greek word that translates guidance or one who steers the ship. Do you realize not everybody's called to leadership? There's times I wonder if I am. Seriously, I don't carry some of the skill set. I carry the heart. I have to rely upon the skill set because I've been such a doer. If I'll just go do it, that's not leadership. It becomes a bondage. We've got to make a safe place to empower the other members to walk up into their anointing and come out of their, get rid of their 300 bones and come to 206. You're going to have some flexibility and some grace. This should be the safest place to screw up. This should be the safest place to give a false prophecy and not be called a false prophet. It's called a bad prophecy. Good prophet, bad prophecy, grow up. That was good. I wish you'd have done that to me instead of kicking me out and calling me a false prophet. Yeah. And the gifts of different kinds of tongues. Different kinds of tongues. Not everyone is an apostle or a prophet or a teacher. Not everyone performs miracles. verse 30, or has gifts of healing, or speaks in tongues, or interprets tongues. Verse 31, but you should all constantly boil over with passion for seeking the higher gifts. When was the last time you boiled over with passion seeking the higher gifts? Love never fails. Love never fails. We started Christmas. What did we say, Ron? 6 months of hell? I hate accurate prophecy. It's been 6 months of hell. But I'm going to tell you what we as a body, we've never been healthier in the core of our leadership in all the years. There's a grace on us. There's a pliability on us. There's an exactness on us. And I was talking to a counselor, and I don't like counselors either. Because they know how to ask the right question. I don't care. I didn't say I had to like everybody. And she asked a question about this church. And I realize that I'm a very task-oriented. I'm faithful. When I hear God, I will do it, what he says, and other people may not. I'll be standing when everybody else is gone. Where's the passion? You got the obedience down. Where's the passion? Part of it is out of necessity. I feel like I've been disjointed. I've had to do stuff that I'm not graced or gifted in. And I've avoided some of the things that I'm really good at. And that's like spending time with him. And when you don't spend time with the one who paid it all, at the level of intimacy, you're just faithful and not passionate. For yourself or those that you're connecting with. Because I have not rightly discerned the Lord's body. I am not all that in a bag of chips, and neither are you, but we need each other. We need each other. And God is trying to breathe on every one of us as he breathes on us corporately. He says, you know, you think you're looking for passion, son. Quit looking for passion. Just find me. See, we want to go find passion and realize it's him. So I wrote all this down. I said, Lord, is this a rebuke? And he says, only to you. Always starts at the head. I'm going to quit being the hand, and I'm going to quit being the feet. I'm going to be what God called me to be. Because there's enough members as they connect, and they get what they need, you get what you need, and you give what you're supposed to. I believe we will build the structural, the bones, that God himself can come and habitate. I'm tired of pulling my memory of the glory of God rolling into a meeting because I haven't tasted it in a while. Years ago, we had a lady who, her husband got saved. He fished with my youngest son, and she was pretty rough. And she came and got radically saved. See, I love it when God does what he does. And she came up and got saved, and I laid hands on her, and she hit the ground, and she showed everything she possessed, tattoos and all. And I'm like, can we get a blanket over here? The next week she comes and she needs prayer. Bam, same thing. Third week, bam, same thing. She needed God. She needed the anointing. She would just fall out under the power of God. Saw some of the people being offended. So some of the people are like, what are we going to do? It's like, I don't know. I ain't never been here before. I'm a guy. I ain't talking to her. The Lord says, I'm a guy. Why don't you ask me to talk to her? The next Sunday, I come up. We have an altar call. She's not there. I'm like, where is she? God, where's Linda? He said, she's in the foyer. I go out and said, Linda, what's going on? Pastor, I needed prayer so bad today. But I show everything I got. It'll never happen again. And she went and bought clothes. She got such a long skirt. She looked like she'd been hogtied with his long skirt. What am I saying? Some of the ladies took her shopping. Some of the ladies went and bought her the appropriate clothing to where she could roll on the floor and get blessed in the Holy Ghost and not show her stuff. I want every member to be so in tune with what God's doing that when an unsaved, uncultured, we have enough grace to let God get in the middle of it and every member be what we're supposed to be and minister and do and let God be God. But structure is not demonic. We need bones. Stand to your feet. Put your hand over your heart. I'm going to pray for you just as if you're me. Some of you are going, oh, Lord Jesus. Say, Holy Spirit, I am a member of your body and this body. I need to find out how to connect. I need to find out how to connect. And I will not punish those without giving my heart to them. If I'm afraid to, heal me so that I can give my heart to the members of the body that need what I have, and I will get what I need, and you will have what you want, one bride without spot, without wrinkle, because of your blood, your anointing. You are the Holy One, and I'm in you. I thank you for it. In Jesus' name.
Thank you for tuning into today's message from Identity Church. To know more about us, go to identitychurch.net, where you'll find resources such as a calendar, media, and upcoming events. You may also download an app for your mobile device from the Apple App Store or Google Play. Then from your mobile device, you can hear our messages, read from the Bible, take notes, connect with us on the social media, and even pay your tithe. Again, thank you for tuning into today's message from Identity Church.